Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking today about education matters, and we have a very special guest with us, Dr. James Akinson from Tennessee Tech University. And we're going to talk with James about what he does at Tech, but also about some of the pretty unique little pathways he's gone down, like country music. So, James, it's great to see you again, and thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. It's good to be here, and I dig the new studios.
Well, that's great. These are beautiful studios here at StoneCom. Some folks may not know your background or may not know you, so tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into education and then how you ended up at Tennessee Tech.
Well, Rascal Flatts had a song called God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You. And part of my life has been like that, and most people's life is like that as well. It all looks logical when you're much later in life and of your career is established, but it was a broken road of sorts that got me here. In any event, I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and despite the fact that Hubert Humphrey was there and it had a perception of being a very liberal city, I regret that the George Floyd incident also reflects things that had gone on long, long ago, and I didn't even know about some of these things.
It is amazing how much we don't know
about
our communities.
That is the problem. But Minneapolis was a great place to grow up in. I feel that I got a good education, not only in the public schools, but the University of Minnesota, and that things have developed nicely in that I always was fascinated by the Renfro Valley Gathering. Once in a while, I'd listen to a country station, and combined with my very conservative Baptist upbringing, it was very easy to come to Cookeville, Tennessee. And so I've been grateful to be here with my life partner, Mickey, since 1973. And outside of marrying her, coming to Tech was one of the best things I've ever done.
And I came in 1976, just right after you did, a couple of years, and would concur totally. It's great how these broken roads lead you to something as neat as Cookeville and as neat as Tennessee Tech.
You never know for sure.
Well, tell us about what you do at Tech.
Okay, at Tech, my job is pretty straightforward. I'm supposed to teach courses on how to teach social studies in elementary school and in middle and secondary school. That's the core that I do, plus help evaluate our students when they go out into the public schools and do various practicum teaching. And I guess the big thing is I'm a demonstrator of sorts. Used to refer to cars as demonstrator models, and they'd be discounted. But my job is to demonstrate, model good teaching strategies that will work in the elementary school, work in middle school, and work in secondary school, and be able to show the big picture and then the specific details that make a classroom run, including classroom management, which can derail the best train of somebody who thinks they know everything and does know everything. You got to be able to run the classroom. You've got to be the boss, in a sense. At the same time, you love them to death.
And you've got to, you teach sociology, and you got to understand that classroom group dynamic. And
it's a big deal.
And a lot of people can't master that skill.
And the interesting thing about it all with classroom management, that the things that work, once you see the general principles and the specific techniques, they're so simple that you say, and you need to go to college to learn this? And yes, you do. It's as simple as being able to say, hey, I'll take that comment with a raised hand and do it consistently so that they'll raise their hand and there'll be order in your classroom.
Yeah, that old everything I need to know in life I learned in kindergarten is there's a lot of common sense in most of what we
do. There is, and it's learned behavior. Yeah.
Now, you teach and have taught graduate school also.
That is correct.
So tell us what you do there.
Well, I teach a course in an elementary social studies graduate course. And then two other courses. One is a graduate course in country music that you can take as a master's or EDS student, but also we offer it for PhD credit. Of course, when it's somebody's working on the PhD, we do everything to make their life totally miserable. They have to do an extra presentation based upon two additional books. And they have to address one of the biggest complicated questions of country music. And it's true in a lot of things, the question of what's called authenticity. That class is a combination of teaching methods, plus also we do some hands-on, concrete, really sophisticated thinking that is substantive, where you arrange ideas even from slips of paper so that they're putting ideas into hierarchies in a hands-on concrete way. At the same time, they're talking about the most abstract and sophisticated kinds of things that happen in country music. And I should say that if you're a rock kind of person or hip-hop kind of person, authenticity is a big, big deal.
Yes,
very much so. And then the other course I teach is a PhD seminar on educational issues, and we read a book by a gentleman who was on my PhD committee by the name of Michael Apple, and we grapple with what's happened in the U.S. in the last 50 or so years and how there have been major shifts that have been dramatic in their nature to affect what's going on in schools.
That's quite a range of classes. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Dr. James Akinson from Tennessee Tech University about some of the classes that he teaches. And James, we're going to come back to this country music theme a couple of times. You don't make those doctoral students write a country music song, do you?
Oh, no, but it would be far too difficult.
They might never get their doctorate.
They might not, because it's one thing to write a dissertation. It's another thing to do very sophisticated thinking. But I remember they used to have in the internet discussion groups of and one of the bluegrass discussion group one time got into a lengthy discussion about songwriting. Somebody wrote in and said, is it hard to write songs? A woman answered and said, oh, no, it's really easy, except when I tried to write good songs, it got really hard. So my bias would be it'd be easier to get a PhD than it would to be to make it in showbiz as a singer-songwriter. It's always been tough, and even David Crosby and Rolling Stone will tell you that for all the new technologies that'll let you go get your music out in different ways, it's even gotten tougher. There's nothing easy about being an artist trying to get your product out there and consumed by a large number of people so you can actually make a living.
And we might want to come back to that and talk in this COVID environment about the challenges to those artists. But I'm like you. I can't imagine making my living writing any genre of songs, country music or anything else. But it's a special talent that can do that well.
It is indeed.
Well, we are while we're talking about special challenges, we're in the fall semester at Tennessee Tech. Tech has had a relatively good launch, relatively good experience in terms of getting students back on campus. What have you noticed in terms of changes, either in your classroom or in your students? How are they adapting to this COVID challenge?
Well, Tennessee Tech students traditionally come from compliant, conservative-based families, and they do what, as a group, what they're supposed to. That's the longtime history of Tech, and this is the one time where you can say, hey, if you tell them to do something, they do it. As a group, Tech students are masking up. That's exactly the number one variable that Dr. Fauci would say you gotta do if you're gonna defeat this. So it's the big thing is I talk with a mask on and I make sure that I don't touch even when I do a high five, because if somebody does something phenomenally good in the class, it's a virtual high five or a virtual elbow bump. That's the really the there. I haven't had this semester to do much unique. I did have a couple of people test positive for COVID. So I did a Zoom session where they could watch the class. And that's about the major adjustment.
This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Dr. James Akinson from Tennessee Tech, and we are going to take a mid-session break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking today about education matters, and we are talking to Dr. James Akinson from Tennessee Tech University, partly about the unusual fall startup for this year at Tennessee Tech, and partly about the classes that he teaches and the students that he teaches. And James, good news for the university. The enrollment is up slightly across the entire campus. And the College of Education, which is typically the largest undergraduate program at the university, and often the largest graduate also, has had a good year. So you've got a good group of students back.
Well, Tech students are anything that over the years that Tech students may have lacked in coming from sophisticated kinds of families. They make up for the fact that they work hard.
They do.
They're smart people, they work hard, and they're successful. So I feel I'm blessed in that my students always work hard, and the vast majority really are there, just like on the Bachelorette or the Bachelor, for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be great teachers, and it's you can say what you want, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. Many of them will even say that God has called them to be a teacher.
Yes.
And if you believe that, you're going to work hard.
You're going to work hard. There's motivation there.
You got the mojo to end up being a fine teacher in the classroom and a fine student on campus.
And the College of Ed places teachers throughout the Upper Cumberland. They go many other places in the United States and in the state of Tennessee also, but we have a heavy presence in classrooms in the Upper Cumberland.
Yes, we do. And I'm pleased to say that in my intro to ed class that I teach, I also teach an intro to ed class. I'm working on cultural responsive teaching as one of the key things that all of our students are going to need to be. 2 weeks in a row, I had different tech students, former class people in my class, Zoom in, and Elizabeth Phelps from Cookeville is at Cameron Middle School, of which there are virtually no standard white Caucasian people. Those that are classified as white and Caucasian are Egyptians. So
wow.
It doesn't look like the typical Upper Cumberland. And she is doing magnificent work in a totally diverse environment. And I'm very proud of her. And her insights were really helpful. She also mentioned, and I asked her to tell the class how much she works. And she works 55, 60, 65 hours a week. So boys and girls out there who want to be teachers, it can get like work. A week or two ago, had Corey Shepherd from Crossville. He teaches in a small, heavily Native Eskimo environment above the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
And he shared all of the different things, including communication. There's slight subtleties of communication that are everything for you as a teacher to learn about and try to adapt so that you can connect to your students. Both Corey Shepherd and Elizabeth Phelps from Cookeville, from the Upper Cumberland, have learned to be culturally responsive. Even though people say, well, I want to teach in the Upper Cumberland where they all look like me and they're all Baptist, Church of Christ, Methodist, etc. Not necessarily going to play out that way anymore.
That's right.
There's going to be a lot of people coming into your classroom that are from other cultures with other assumptions about how the world functions and perceptions. And you got to tap into those. And so I'm stressing that a lot, and that you're going to have different people even in the Upper Cumberland.
I think we've all seen that. Those of us that have been here for 40 or more years have seen big changes in the Upper Cumberland. Well, I know across the nation, we have been through a period where interest in classroom teaching has been on the wane a little bit in the last decade. How have, what do you see as the big challenges that have caused that? And maybe what do you say to students who want to be a classroom teacher but think it may be a bit more challenging than they're up to?
Well, if you want to be a teacher, you want to be a teacher. And there are very definite sets of skills that you can learn to do that will make you successful in the classroom, pure and simple. Now, I'm a free will Baptist. That's a bit of a joke, but I do come from, and I believe that it's one thing to say, hear it and parrot it, say it. It's another thing that you got to put it into action. If you put these skills that we stress in our classes at Tech into action, you will be successful and you can have a very nice career. Assuming, of course, that you realize you're not going to be getting rich doing this. The richness comes from young people telling you, wow, you made a difference in your life, in my life. And you may find that they'll come back 20 years later and say, it was your class that made the difference. They may tell you while you're in class or 5 years, 10 years out. And those times when those happen, hey, you know you've done the right thing.
That's right.
And yes, I'd like to make 10 times more than I do, but being told that I've made a difference for some of my Tech students, hey, it's worth it.
Yeah, I think for all teachers, there is a call to service that many of them feel at an early age.
And if you don't feel it, you're not going to be a happy camper.
And you may, as you say, go to Tennessee Tech and think you're going to stay in Cookeville or somewhere and end up north of the Arctic Circle. That's an interesting environment to teach in, I imagine.
Very challenging. And you don't know. I had one student from Harriman. her life was kind of bland, and she took a job overseas in Kuwait prior to the Kuwait War. And she was walking down the hall first day, heard a man talking, and thought, man, that sounds familiar, that kind of way he's talking. She went up to him and said, where are you from? And he said, Harriman, Tennessee.
Oh, no.
And she married him.
Wow.
And started back in East Tennessee. So you just never know. There are oddball, unusual connections that happen in this life, and teaching can make these things happen.
It is amazing. I was having a teriyaki McBurger in Tokyo, Japan one time with Gloria, and someone said, Dr. Bell, and it was a Tennessee Tech graduate from Crossville who was in Tokyo on a different mission than I was, but went into the same McDonald's that I was in.
I believe that. Those kinds of events happen frequently, and you just never know, because one of my students, we emphasized the teaching the Cold War and Checkpoint Charlie. She went to Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin and then sent me a photo of it. And all out of the blue, here's this photo of a former student at Checkpoint Charlie.
Isn't it fun?
One thing after another that makes teaching interesting.
I agree. And my son always said, Dad, you didn't have to go to Tokyo to get a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But I was ready for a McDonald's at that point. Well, you also serve as co-chair of the International Country Music Conference.
That is correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's something that when I came to Tech, I started to listen more and more to country music, although I had read a little bit about it and heard, listened to it some. But then I really started to get into it. And as I got into it and listened to it, read more about it, and analyzed the big ideas in country music, I said, wow, I'm a social studies educator. It's perfect for teaching geography and history. There is so many, and really figurative language and language arts. And so I realized that, I didn't see any conference as such, any academic conference around. And I thought, well, maybe I could start one.
How about that?
And so that's, you know, the short of it is that's what happened. And it's been 38 years or so since our first one. And it's been one of these unexpected, God bless the broken road that led me straight here to Cookeville and to country music. And I've learned, and so has LP Mickey, tremendous things. It's added depth to what I know and can bring into my teaching, both for undergraduate students, because I model, use country music, such as, hey, how about Johnny Cash's One Piece at a Time? Perfect for teaching out-migration from Appalachia to Detroit to the Midwest. Perfect for ethical issues. What does it mean to steal? Perfect for dealing with humor, loads of different things like that, all in a country music song. And there are loads of other country music songs. I think I have about 200 Civil War songs on my iTunes, my iTouch, although you can't listen to them all and use them all. Those kinds of songs are around. And geography, if you've seen the Caney Fork, how about canoeing the Caney? Well, there's a song about the Caney Fork that allows you to analyze geography, issues about watershed development and connections of river systems, but also ethical decisions, because in the song he ends up killing his wife for cheating on him while he is gone.
That sounds like a good country music song.
That's a great country music song.
But you're right. Songs can be used. It brings students in an interesting way to think, hey, Johnny Cash did that. And then you get all kind of teaching moments that can spin off of that. Well, it's been an honor to have you on the program. Thank you for all you're doing at Tennessee Tech. and we'll keep our fingers crossed that the Country Music Conference, the International Country Music Conference, will meet in person this year.
Thank you. Been a pleasure, and let's rock on Tennessee Tech and make it all through the semester without having to go online.
Amen. Amen. James, thank you for being here.